The Gospel of John is a little different than other Gospels. The first three Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they are the synoptic Gospels where you find similar material in each one of them. John is quite different, written much later in time when this community was ostracized probably from the rest of the Christian church. And when John speaks of the miracles of Jesus and the things that are going on in his life, he's not speaking to them to say, look who God is. He's saying, look at the signs that Jesus is presenting for you to point you toward God. Near the time when he was heading toward his own death, he had a long discourse that we find in John, and our scripture this morning is taken from that discourse. Jesus is speaking in this passage. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. May God help us to unravel these holy words from our scripture this morning. All right. In advance, I'm going to apologize for my sermon today. Because when I was working on it, I was thoroughly confused. And so in my hope not to confuse you this morning, I'll try to make clear a concept that is actually very difficult for the church. Over the last several weeks, we have been speaking about the different seasons of the church year, different themes within the Christian year. The Christian year runs a little bit differently than the calendar year for us. It starts with Advent, and it runs through the themes of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. After that, we come to Pentecost, which was last week, where we heard of the birth of the church. And following on that, we will continue on towards looking at how we can be disciples of Jesus and follow through on his life and teaching. And this week was no different than that. I looked at the theme, and silly me, several weeks ago, decided I would go with the theme of today. Many ministers usually skip this one because it is difficult and complicated. Today we recognize another significant theological event, which is really not an event in the church. It is a doctrine or belief of the Christian community that we have held for hundreds of years and yet still do not have the capacity really to grasp. Today, the Sunday after Pentecost is, let's hear a drum roll, Trinity Sunday. I can feel the enthusiasm. The Sunday, or the concept that pretty much nobody gets, therefore we kind of ignore it. I was looking for jokes on Trinity Sunday. There were a few online, but I didn't get them, so I couldn't really use them. I was at a conference a couple years ago, in fact, and one of the speakers got up and said, I think we should throw out the concept of the Trinity. It just completely confuses us. Yet it is a part of our Christian tradition. So we must make some attempt to unravel it, because it has to mean something to us as Christians. Over the years, I have attempted to muddle through it in my own mind and speak about it with little success. We come up with different analogies that we use in order to try to bring some sense to the Trinity. And so I'm going to share a few of these today because we've probably heard them before. So we can speak of the Trinity, many speak of the Trinity as being like water, H2O. At its base, water is just H2O. But it comes to us in three forms. Comes to us in frozen form, ice, comes to us as liquid form, and it comes to us as vapor. Seems like a pretty good analogy for the Trinity. However, it breaks down when we think that the Trinity itself is three separate entities and water is just one thing. It's kind of like water shape-shifting into different things. And that's not the Trinity, because the Trinity is three different entities. So we can't use water to describe the Trinity. By the way, the Trinity is that concept of God the Father, or Mother if you prefer. I send my sermons out to friends sometimes, and when my friends wrote back and said, it's okay, but I have difficulty with the Father concept. And now we've come into the place in the church where we know that God is not some big guy out there. So if Mother is more comfortable for you, use Mother, but we'll use Father. It's more traditional here. Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, expressions of God. Can't use water. So we might use the sun. The sun being a star from which light and heat comes. Star, light, heat. Yeah, but it doesn't work. Because two elements of the Trinity do not emanate from the one. They are all co-equal, the Trinity. Therefore, the sun doesn't work. So we've tried things like using a human being as an example and say, let's say a woman can be a mother, a daughter, and a sister all at once. But that doesn't work either, because it's still one person. They're not separate entities. So we're baffled. What to make of the Trinity? Besides, what does it really matter if we understand or can describe it? What we usually tend to do as Christians anyway is we pick one of them, maybe our favorite, and that's the one we worship and we pray to, and we kind of try to ignore or not concentrate on the Trinity. Yet those outside of the faith have wondered for centuries why Christians have three gods, why we worship three gods. Or we try hard to reconcile or justify our worship of Christ as God at the same time that we worship God, the Father, or the Holy Spirit. Yet still, it matters. There has to be something more to the Trinity than our attempts to syncretize our belief that God is expressed through God in three persons. Why? Why do we do this? So we try using illustrations. And so we have something like this. We have God in the middle, and then we have around a triangle the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And as it illustrates, the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and so on around the triangle. But they all are God. So the essence of who they are is found in the middle, God. And we go, okay, then who or what is God that is found in these three, the Trinity? And we say, oh, wow, baffling. Don't know what that is. So we try something else, and we say, okay, again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are all of one essence, all made up of something central to each one of them that is the essence of the Trinity. Then what is the essence? What is that essence that we find in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we worship? And we get confused all over again. And I did do this in DeWinton, and people were just like, their brows were furrowed. They're like, what are you talking about? Why do you even try this? And we get thoroughly confused. For the Trinity is one of those concepts that boggle the mind, and maybe would be best left in the dark corner of our theological schools to be studied by naive students and theological geeks. Of which I happen to be one, and love having these kinds of debates, and conversations. Yet still, I think it matters. It matters that we explore the Trinity. Because somehow I think that the church fathers who developed this concept, by the way, the Trinity is not found in Scripture. It's the only Sunday that we acknowledge something that we do not find as a concept in Scripture. There is no such thing as the Trinity found in Scripture. Yes, we find the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we do not find a developed sense of what the Trinity is in any of the writings in Scripture. The Holy Spirit and God and Jesus somehow, though, express for us the same essence, God. It's confusing, I know. Yet the essence of the Trinity, as we can understand it, I believe, is worth understanding, and it is this. That God in three persons are in intimate relationship one with the other. They cannot be separated in their essence. They're all the same in the God essence. This is where we have to move from our heads and trying to figure it out and move into our hearts and try to experience it. Because if we experience the Trinity in our hearts, we don't need to comprehend it with our heads, which is the confusing part. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest, says it this way. He believes that the template for all reality is the Trinity. The template for all reality is the Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, Scripture reads, "Let us create humans in our own image." As if there is something in existence before anything else that was in existence that was in relationship. Not individual, but in relationship. The creation story, Rohr explains, is essentially shared life. Life in relationship with each other. God made us in our image, it says. In the image of the community of God. So within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is perfect love, and they are perfectly loving. Reality, as then perfectly expressed, is found in the love shared between the persons of the Trinity. That is reality. Loved, shared. Love in community. As John expressed it today in the reading of our gospel, everything given to the Son is given by the Father and given through the Holy Spirit to each one of us. Through relationship. That is the essence of God and the essence of who we are when we get it. We are at our very essence, relationship, love, compassion, caring for each other. And all that we receive comes not from one, but from all three, the essence of who they are. And that essence is also our essence. It is who we are if we fully realize it. The Trinity, therefore, is not for us to explain or even comprehend. It is for us to experience. It's not for us to try to figure out. We can't. It is for us to go deep into our hearts and to recognize that when we open ourselves up to the essence of God, we are opening ourselves up to relationship, to caring, to community. That is why Christianity can never be an individual faith. It is always communal. Just as the Trinity is communal, you cannot separate the three. It's not a concept, it is a relationship. And when we live into it, we live into God. Thomas Merton, who was a Trappist monk, wrote that the Christian is not merely alone with the alone. The Christian is not merely alone with God, but he or she is one with all his or her brothers and sisters in Christ. Our inner selves are in fact inseparable from Christ, and hence it is, in a mysterious and unique way, inseparable from all the other eyes, each of us, who live in Christ, so that we together form one mystical person, who is Christ. We together form one person who is Christ. Let me maybe state that in a more simple way. If Christ is the ocean, then we are the drops that make up the ocean. Each of us, inseparable. Our essence is God, and to God we will return. As a friend of mine used to say very often, almost in every one of his sermons, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Our ultimate purpose for being is to recognize our essence and to live into relationship with reality, which is God, that essence. So let me be as clear as I can about the Trinity. The Trinity is at its essence God, found in three expressions: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God's essence, and the essence of who God is, and the essence of who we are, is relation, is relational. This is the central fact of the Trinity. The Trinity, therefore, is not a model. It is an essence of who we are. To the degree that we do relationship together, we will be fully alive and connected. We are caring for one another because our essential nature is the same as our neighbor. We are not separate. At our core, we are the same. When we do damage to others, when we hurt one another, we in reality are truly hurting ourselves. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cannot hurt each other because their essential nature is the same. One hurts, the other hurts. One loves, they all love. If we could understand this about ourselves, we would never do harm to each other. This is the Trinity. It matters because we need to understand that Christianity at its best is a relational faith as expressed in the Godhead, the three as one nature. We are not individuals seeking relationship. We are relationship. Damage relationship, to be sure. Thinking that we live as individuals. When we return to relationship, community, loving and caring for each other, then we are living out the Trinity, the fullness of God. And to Christians, it matters. Now that I've completely boggled your mind, let's spend some time in reflection and prayer. If you have a concern,